بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال تعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, in a few days time the hilal and the moon for the month of Sha'ban will be sighted. And with this, a message will be sounded to each and every one of us that there is a few days remaining before a very noble and high-profile guest will arrive at our shores. Unlike a regular guest who relies on the host for his provisions, this guest will bring his own provisions into the house of the host. Unlike a normal guest who looks for safety and security within the house of the host, this guest will bring aman, salamat, peace and security into the house of the host. And unlike a normal guest who elaborate preparations have to be made for his arrival, food has to be prepared, drink has to be prepared, his transport and accommodation for the duration of his stay has to be arranged, this guest will require very little physical preparation. All that he will ask for is a bit of the time and effort of the host. The duration of his stay will be 30 days and 30 nights. He will visit the home of each and every one of us. And that home where preparations have been made for his arrival, and he is met and welcomed with open arms, then he will happily reside within that home and distribute his barakat and blessings amongst the household members. On the other hand, that home where adequate preparations have not been made for his arrival, in fact, his stay is taken to be a burden for the people of that home, then with honor and dignity, he will turn around and leave. But together with this, he will take away his barakat and blessings. And this guest does not come of his own accord, but he is sent by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself, the blessed month of Ramadan. The question that we have to ask ourselves, my respected brothers and elders, what have we done to begin preparing for the arrival of the month of Ramadan? It seems as though it was just yesterday we saw on social media the countdown began 100 days to the month of Ramadan. And the women folk will already be complaining that 2/3 of the time has elapsed and I am only halfway done with my preparations in the kitchen. The businessman, his mind is on something else as we approach the financial year end. He is getting his business affairs in order. His staff are preparing for stock take. But the question is, when it comes to our spiritual preparation for the month of Ramadan, what effort have we made? We understand in this world, when it comes to events and occasions, then nobody prepares just 1 or 2 days before a large event or occasion. The mother and the father prepare months in advance before the wedding of their daughter. The student who is in matric, or during his final year of university studies, he also prepares from the beginning of the year for the end of the year exams. When it comes to the month of Ramadan, this is the highlight in the Islamic calendar. How much have we prepared? And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom and mercy creates opportunities for us. That if we take advantage of these opportunities, we seize the moment, then this will become a kickstart for us to begin our preparations for the month of Ramadan. And therefore we have tonight, which is the 27th of Rajab. From the onset, respected brothers and elders, we have to understand the deen and the shariat of Allah is very sensitive when it comes to its laws and regulations. And therefore, what is our understanding of tonight in the Islamic calendar? Ulama have made it very clear, tonight is not specifically a big night or an auspicious night. In fact, it is no more auspicious than last night, no more auspicious than tomorrow night. Generally, the incident of Isra and Mi'raj is discussed on this night. And here also historians have difference of opinion, when did this incident occur? Some have mentioned the month of Rabiul Awwal, others have mentioned the month of Sha'ban, others have mentioned the month of Dhul Qa'dah. But be that as it may, regardless of when this particular incident took place, the month of Rajab in itself is a sacred month. إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that the number of months in the Islamic calendar is 12. And from these 12 months, 4 months have been made sacred by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. 3 of these 4 months are consecutive. Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram. And the wisdom behind these months being sacred, we can easily understand in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And prior to his coming as well, the Arabs in particular, and even those who were idol worshippers, would regard the pilgrimage of Hajj as a very sacred pilgrimage. And therefore every year during the season of Hajj, the month of Dhul Hijjah, people would come from far and wide from the Arabian Peninsula. They would come to Makkah Mukarramah, they would undergo the pilgrimage of Hajj, and thereafter return home. Of course, in those times, highway robbery was common. And there was a need to secure the safe passage of these pilgrimage to and from Makkah Mukarramah. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the month of Dhul Hijjah, which is the season of Hajj, and the month preceding it, Dhul Qa'dah, and the month which follows the season of Hajj, Muharram, Allah declares these are sacred months. In other words, there will be no bloodshed, there will be no killing, there will be no fighting. And therefore, the Hujjaj and the pilgrims are now guaranteed safe passage from their lands to Makkah Mukarramah and back home after the journey of Hajj. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَرَجَبُ مُضَرُ The month of Rajab is a stand-alone sacred month in the Islamic calendar. So regardless of the status of the 27th of Rajab in particular, but we are currently within a special month in the Islamic calendar. And therefore this is an opportunity for us to revisit not just the incident of Isra and Mi'raj, but the lessons of Mi'raj. What do we take from here and how does it help us to prepare for the month of Ramadan? So for us to understand this miraculous journey, let us understand the background before this incident took place. The year is the 10th year after Nubuwwat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been preaching the message of Islam. He has a few people who have joined him, but by and large it has been a very difficult journey. The Muslims are few in number, very much oppressed, downtrodden in Makkah Mukarramah. They have been subjected to every type of persecution by the Quraysh. And in this year particularly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is made to endure and undergo 3 very difficult events. Firstly, his pillar of support within the home, Khadija radiallahu anha, her life is taken, she passes away in this year. Understand, Khadija radiallahu anha was the mother of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's children. And not only did she provide financial support, but more than that, emotional comfort and support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the early days of his journey. He loses his beloved wife. We can imagine the frame of mind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must have been in. And a short while later, the second pillar of support is taken away from him. That person who was the pillar of support outside the home, his beloved uncle Abu Talib, he also is taken away in this year. Abu Talib, we understand, had not been blessed with Islam, but he was a great pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, a lot of persecution was averted from Nabi alayhi salam by virtue of his link and his closeness with Abu Talib. He would ensure he was a nobleman from amongst the Quraysh, and he would ensure that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was treated fairly and justly as far as he could. So he also loses his life in this year. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what can be understood as perhaps the last throw of the dice, after realizing that there is no support in Makkah Mukarramah, he turns his attention to the city of Ta'if. And the thought process is that perhaps I will be able to establish a base in the city of Ta'if, and I will find support and followers from this particular city and town. Nabi alayhi salam undertakes the journey, he goes to Ta'if, but where he expects to be met with acceptance, here the hostility and the aggression is on a different level. Now it is not just verbal persecution, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is physically assaulted. It is easy for us to speak about it, easy for us to listen. But try and understand the thugs, the urchins, the wild animals being set free against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blood is dripping from his body. And he is forced to run away and leave Taif, very dejected, despondent. It is against this backdrop that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to honor his Nabi. And the incident of Isra and Mi'raj takes place as a form of consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the message is loud and clear for each and every one of us, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes success for a person, when Allah wants to honor and elevate a person's status, then against all odds, Allah will do what it takes to elevate this person. The entire community and society can be against him, but as long as he remains firm and steadfast on the deen of Allah, then Allah will elevate him to such heights that he himself never imagined. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asleep in his home. One narration suggests he was in the Hatim, next to the house of Allah, next to the Kaaba. إِذْ أَتَانِي آتٍ Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him, wakes him up from his sleep. And thereafter, a very strange thing takes place. The chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is opened. An incision is made from beneath the throat to above the navel. And his Mubarak heart is taken out of his body. A container of Zamzam is brought. And the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is washed with the water of Zamzam. Thereafter, a tray comes from Jannah with Iman and Hikmah, wisdom. These two attributes are put within the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the reason for this? The verse that was mentioned in the beginning, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah declares one of the objectives, one of the goals of this entire incident of Isra and Mi'raj is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could open up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam his great signs of his power, his majesty, his grandeur. The heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being prepared. Ulama have mentioned this particular incident of the washing of the heart took place on different occasions in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. Some have mentioned up to 4 times. But nevertheless, his heart is being prepared. And thereafter, a conveyance is brought, which is larger than a donkey, smaller than a mule. The details have been recorded and preserved. The name of this conveyance is Al-Buraq, which in the Arabic language refers to lightning. In other words, the speed of this animal is the speed of lightning. Nabi alayhi salam mounts the animal. The animal in its excitement and joy begins to shake and move. Jibreel alayhi salam issues a stern warning, don't you know who is sitting on top of you? Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salam mounts, Jibreel alayhi salam mounts behind him according to one narration. And the journey begins from Al-Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarrama to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. Along the journey, various incidents take place, time is limited. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reaches Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And here he finds within the masjid a large group of people who have assembled. Adhan is called out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam expects Jibreel to go forward and lead the salah. But Jibreel alayhi salam takes hold of his hand and puts him forward. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is made to lead the salah. After the salah, he is asked, do you know who is the congregation behind you? And the answer comes that these are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. From Nabi Adam till Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is given the title Imamul Anbiya. The leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, what is the reason for this? What is the lesson behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, understand who is your Nabi. Understand his status, his position in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in today's time, respected brothers and elders, where we find various different ideologies, different isms that are being promoted at times through mainstream media. A person looks at the news and he will find very strange occurrences in the world. Unfortunately, these are not things that we like to mention. But people questioning the gender that they are, people questioning every moral and value that they have been born and brought up with. And at times a believer becomes overwhelmed, which direction do I look to? Which morals and values do I continue to uphold? What is the path to success in today's time? Allah is sounding out a message to us that if the ummah wishes to be successful, and if the ummah wishes to be progressive, and if the entire society and community wishes to move forward, then there is only one way, and this is by turning the clock back 1400 years. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be successful when we look backwards to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the morals and values that he stood for. Allah is teaching us understand the status and the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you wish to take a role model in your life, if you wish to appoint a role model for your children and your family members, then there can be no one better and more superior than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The salah is concluded, and thereafter the journey of Mi'raj begins. According to some narrations, a golden ladder is brought, decorated with rubies and emeralds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed to ascend. And he and Jibreel ascend until they reach the first sky, As-Sama'ud Dunya. Here Jibreel asks permission. The angel who is in charge of the heavens responds, "Who is there?" The answer comes, "It is Jibreel. With me is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The question comes, has permission been granted for him? Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salam is admitted and then welcomed into the first heaven. And as he ascends through the various heavens, he meets different anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. He meets Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Nabi Idris, Nabi Musa, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Each one of them welcome him, greet him, marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabi salih. Welcome to our righteous brother and righteous Nabi. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken to the seventh heaven, where he reaches a place called As-Sidratul Muntaha, which is a lote tree whose roots are in the sixth heaven and which reaches up to the seventh heaven. The books of hadith mention this is the point where the commands of Allah descend to, and from here they are then distributed into the world. The angels are then instructed to take the commands of Allah and carry them out as Allah deems fit. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees various different things on this journey. Again, time does not permit us to go into the detail, but one incident that took place, and something that in today's time specifically we need to be wary of. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a group of people in a very despicable condition. Lahum adfarum min nuhas. He describes that they have nails made of copper and lead. يَخْمِشُونَ بِهَا وُجُوهَهُمْ وَصُدُورَهُمْ. And these people are clawing and scratching at their faces and their chests. When he poses the question, what is the crime these people are guilty of having committed? The answer comes, these were the people who would attack the honor and the integrity of people in this world. In other words, at times without verifying information, they would make accusations against people. They would speak ill of others. And in today's day and age of social media, respected brothers and elders, each and every person, regardless of who he or she may be, is given an opportunity to pass a comment on whatever issue he deems fit. At times, messages are received and forwarded. Without realizing, we may be degrading others. We may be attacking the honor and the integrity of others. Understand what punishment awaits these type of people. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually reaches what the ulama have mentioned as the climax of his spiritual journey, the mulaqat and the meeting which takes place with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This entire journey is captured in detail in the books of hadith, which begins in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awakened by Jibreel. The entire nightly journey to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the imamate of the Anbiya, thereafter the ascension into the heavens. What is the end result? What was this entire journey for? Nabi alayhi salam himself mentions, ثُمَّ فُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ الصَّلَاةِ. The gift and the obligation of salah is then delivered to me. Understand, my respected brothers and elders, a lowly office worker, a person who is on the bottom rung of the company, when he is informed of some promotion or some salary raise, then he will be informed via email or via phone call. And in a small gathering of friends and family, he may celebrate his promotion. But when that person has to be promoted to the CEO of the company, then this is not done via email. Rather, a meeting is convened in the boardroom. The CEOs are present, the directors of the company are present. And amidst great fanfare and celebration, his promotion is now celebrated. Because this is a special promotion. In the same way, every obligatory act of ibadat in this world, when it came to the obligation of zakat, when it came to the obligation of hajj, when it came to the obligation of fasting during the month of Ramadan, and the various other duties and responsibilities that Allah has placed upon us in this world, then the method was the same. Jibreel alayhi salam would come down from the sky. He would convey the message to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would then in turn convey this to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. But when it came to the gift and the obligation of salah, the entire method had to be changed. Nabi alayhi salam had to be woken up from his sleep. He had to be taken across the country. He had to be taken to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. His heart had to be washed. And then he had to be taken into the seventh heaven to receive this gift. Why? What message is Allah giving to us? That this particular command of Allah is special. And therefore we find the ending of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on his deathbed, where his family members were around him and he could have chosen to say anything. What were the words that come out of his mouth? As-salah, as-salah, as-salah. That, O my ummah, be cautious and wary with regard to your salah. In this world, a child may be disobedient to his parent. His entire life he has gone against the commands of his father. Even in adulthood, he earned the displeasure and the wrath of his father. But if somebody has to say to him, these were your father's last wishes, on his deathbed, this was his parting advice, then any child would melt and would do everything in his effort to fulfill those last wishes of his father. The last wishes, the parting advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O my ummah, be cautious, be wary with regard to your salah. And that is why ulama have explained that when a person will bring his salah in line, when he will establish salah within his life, then he also will be taken on the spiritual journey of mi'raj. Perhaps he will not be taken on the physical journey, but Allah will enable him to reach great heights through this amal of salah. Many a times when we begin to prepare for the month of Ramadan, then generally there are two doubts that will plague the mind of a person. And this is the work of shaitan, the sworn enemy of insan. He will make every effort to derail a person's preparation. The first thought or feeling that goes through the heart and mind is a person thinks that there is so much to do. There is so much to do and get right in my life and there is so little time. On one hand, we make shukr to Allah for this feeling, because it means a person has understood his weaknesses. He has understood that he has got to make an effort in the court of Allah. But at the same time, we should never become despondent and lose hope. Understand, in the court of Allah, there is nobody who has reached the point of no return. There is hope for each and every person. How many incidents we have heard before of those who were addicted to the bottle, addicted to substances, addicted to music, addicted to womanizing. Yet when Allah made the decision for their hidayat, what and what didn't they become? So the first thing to take note of is we should not become despondent. Yes, there is only just over 30 days left for the month of Ramadan. But there still is time for us to look into our lives, do some soul searching. What do I need to prepare so that I can receive the gift, or rather the guest of Ramadan, and I can take full benefit from this Mubarak month? And the second doubt or thought that goes through a person's mind is, where do I start? What do I begin to put right within my life? Do I start with Quran tilawat? Do I begin to fast on Mondays and Thursdays to prepare myself? What do I do to prepare myself for the month of Ramadan? Understand, respected brothers and elders, there are many things that we can do. But the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clear. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first action that a person will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah about, the first action that he will have to take account for, is his salah. What is the condition of my salah? So two very simple solutions, and inshallah we'll end on this. On one hand, is our daily salah, what is the condition of my salah when it comes to my postures, my recitation, when it comes to my concentration, am I in the masjid for my salah? But more important than this, what ulama explain is our qada'i umri. Our lifetime of missed salahs, at times for various different reasons, perhaps a person out of laziness, or perhaps he was ill at some point in time in his life. He was away from the masjid, he was not performing salah regularly. Now he has come into the masjid, he has some sort of attachment with deen. It should not be that we are only looking forward and we forget about the debt that we owe to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have given this example before, but something that we can understand is that a person borrows a large sum of money from you, 100,000 rand, and the date arrives where he needs to pay you back this money. And you meet this person, he greets you, he smiles at you, he inquires about your well-being. But there is no talk of the money that he owes you. A few days go by, a few weeks go by. You continue to meet this person, perhaps you meet him in the masjid, you meet him at some function, some janazah. And each and every time you meet him, he greets you, he smiles at you. But there is no talk of the money that he owes to you. And then he comes to visit you at home. He brings gifts for you. He brings sweets and chocolates for the children. But still there is no talk of the 100,000 rand debt that he has to you. So eventually a person will become frustrated. That leave the gifts and the sweets and the chocolates aside. Let's talk about the debt that you still owe to me. In the same way, our salah that we have not read in our past life is a debt that we owe to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, and of course we should make the effort to give nafil charity, sadaqah. Many people discharge their zakat during the month of Ramadan. We will be awake at the time of sehri. People will read 2 rakats of tahajjud salah. Generally we will engage in extra dua in the month of Ramadan. Quran tilawat is increased. And these are of course very beneficial and very good actions to carry out. But we should not forget about the debt that we owe to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a simple solution is that tonight is the 27th of Rajab 1444. If a person sits down with pen and page and attempts to estimate the number of salahs that he has missed during his life, whatever it may be 10, 20, 30 years of salah. Of course, at the beginning it will seem to be a very daunting task. But a person makes the effort, he records it to the best of his ability. And here too, ulama have explained, if we are unsure, take the larger number. It may be 10, 15 years, so record 15 years. And a simple solution, a simple tartib and method ulama have explained, is begin with 1 or 2 salahs a day. Take the shortest salah, which is the Fajr salah. When it comes to the intention, all a person has to do is intend the first or the last Fajr salah that he has missed. And this will continue as he covers up each salah. Without having to go into excessive calculations and recording, next year on the 27th of Rajab, we would have covered 2 years of Fajr salah. It may take years in this manner, but at least we have started our journey to repay Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is hope if a person leaves this world in this condition, then through Allah's mercy, he will overlook whatever is remaining. But of course, record has to be kept, family members have to be informed, and whatever arrangements have to be made, but we have to start now. Many people have attempted this, and alhamdulillah, many people have been successful. And when a person makes that effort to repay Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to fulfill his obligations that he has to Allah, then we will find the strength and the opportunities and ability Allah will give him. And in a short space of time, he will find that this entire debt has been paid off. So the first thing to take note of, our qada salah that we owe to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that before the month of Ramadan already I have got into some sort of momentum. So that when the month of Ramadan arrives, the ball is already rolling and we can enter the month of Ramadan with some momentum and take full benefit. And secondly, when it comes to the performance of our daily salah, where here ulama explained that at times perhaps we may have learned how to perform salah in maktab. This may be 30, 40 years ago. We learned the postures of salah, we learned the different du'as to read in salah. Perhaps we learned our takhti or our Quran nazira in those days as well. And as with anything else, if there is no supervision, then it becomes rusty. And perhaps some errors have crept into our salah or our recitation. So the opportunity is there before the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we have ulama-i kiram in every masjid of our country. They are ulama, they are huffaz who we can approach and ask them that, observe my salah, tell me, are my postures correct? Am I raising my hands correctly? a simple solution, or rather a simple test that a person can carry out, is we can go home tonight, stand in front of the mirror, and attempt to make takbir at tahrima and see the condition of our hands. Where our hands are supposed to be facing the qibla, we will find at times our hands are facing towards our face or facing outward. What is the height that we are raising our hands to? These simple things that may seem trivial, but in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest amal is salah. So the simple test that we can do, ask some alim, ask some friend or some family member, observe my postures of salah, am I making ruku correctly, is my sajda correct, go to some hafiz of Quran, is my recitation of Quran correct. And then our salah will become valuable in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Of course, perfection will take years and years of effort, of trying, and then too we may not find or reach a perfect salah. But as we mentioned earlier, as long as the journey has started, some effort has been made to get the ball rolling, some effort has been made in this regard to prepare for the month of Ramadan, and then see the difference when the month of Ramadan comes. How a person will begin to enjoy his salah. Now the Taraweeh will not become a burden. Now waking up a few minutes earlier at the time of Sehri to read Tahajjud Salah will not become difficult. It will become enjoyable for a person. Why? Because he has made some effort in this regard. So Allah has created this opportunity. We have gathered in the house of Allah. And this alone is a sign that Allah wants to give us something. Today is Friday. We know generally Friday is a long day, a difficult day. People would have been working. There would have been Jumu'ah Salah that we came for. And at this time of the night, people are tired. We could have been spending time with our family, our friends. But Allah accepted us to sit in His house for a few minutes. Allah wants to give us something. Therefore, let us make this effort and this intention, respected brothers and elders. Again, to repeat, one is our qadha salah that we owe as debts to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And secondly, the condition of our daily salah, our postures, our recitation, our concentration. Are we making it to the masjid on time? Are we in the first saf? Are we getting the takbir ula? And then see the difference that this will make in the coming Ramadan. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.